I am Iron Man.
Excelsior! That's like my favorite bit from the new intro. What do you guys think of the new intro? I've used it a couple of times now, and I haven't really heard anything back, and I'm not going to say that hurts my feelings, but it kind of does. No, it really doesn't. Yeah, let me know what you guys think of the new intro, because it's different, and it kind of changes the way that I kind of format the show, because normally I usually just kind of come on and spout off some bullshit right at the beginning and then get into the intro and then the show later. But now it's just kind of intro first. So let me know what you guys think of it. I kind of like it, so I might keep it. But yeah, let me know what you guys think. Today, first, before I even tell you what today is, welcome to the Bright Suns Podcast, the show for pop culture nerds like myself to obsess, dissect, love, cherish, respect, honor, all of that stuff in the geekdom with hopefully a focus on positivity. And that includes everything from Marvel to DC to Star Wars, especially comic books, video games, books, anything that we feel like covering in the geekdom that makes us happy, or at least should make us happy, that sometimes doesn't. My name is Mike, and this is Episode 8, and today we are talking about The Book of Boba Fett. And I'm going to try not to spoil too much in this episode, because it did just come out this week, and I have run my mouth enough on social media about people spoiling stuff that I would be kind of a hypocritical douchebag if I just went off and gave you, like, this long synopsis of the show without actually giving you a chance to watch it yourself. So I'm going to try not to spoil anything. If I do, I apologize. But The Book of Boba Fett came out, brand new show on Disney Plus. If you do not have Disney Plus, what the hell are you waiting for? There is so much good shit on Disney Plus right now, especially with The Book of Boba Fett being added. But if you haven't gotten into Disney Plus, then you haven't probably watched The Mandalorian season 1 and 2. And I would say that The Mandalorian Season 1 and 2 are required viewings in order to get into The Book of Boba Fett. And I don't think that's an unreasonable request or demand, really, because the show really, it picks up immediately after where The Mandalorian Season 2 leaves off, with Boba Fett. Not with Din Djarin or anybody else that was in The in The Mandalorian, but it leaves off, or it picks up right from there, and answers a lot of questions that people had when Boba Fett arrived in The Mandalorian, because he did just kind of show up one day, you know, and rescued Fennec Shand. So we know how the two of them met, but it answers a lot of questions that people had right off the bat. In this first episode, I'm going to just say it, I thought this first episode was really, really good. And you know, I shouldn't really be surprised anymore that when something comes out for Disney, anything Disney owns, Marvel or Star Wars especially, but whenever something comes out, there is just an immediate hate brigade that comes out. All the sludge monsters come out and just shit over everything. And it's not... It's something that I want to try to avoid talking about, but it's so prevalent in the fandom that it's almost impossible not to talk about on the show, because it's pretty much a part of being in this fandom and being a Star Wars fan and a Marvel fan these days, is that the minute that something comes out and it's really cool and you want to talk about it, you hop on social media and you find a group of people and you're like, hey, did you see The Book of Boba Fett? And they're like, yes, I did. And I fucking hated it. And this is why it is stupid. And this is why you're stupid for liking it. And like, I'll get more into this in a little bit, but like, it all kind of circles back to the way that all of us really suck at having conversations about things that we like and dislike online. And I guess the crux of the argument that I'm going to make there is really we all act like we are but we are not professional reviewers. And even professional reviewers are not, you know, objective truth on how good or bad a thing is. Reviewing is a very subjective thing. So you can read multiple reviews of the Book of Boba Fett from people who both loved it and hated it. And I apologize if I'm like sniffling or coughing or if my voice sounds really weird, but I am still, again, seems like every friggin' year right around this time, fighting a very bad, like, some sort of infection that moved into my lungs, and then I'm coughing my brains out, and then I can't talk for like 3 weeks. So I'm just getting over that now. And my voice is a little bit different, but this is like the first day that I actually kind of sound like a human being and not a zombie. So I wanted to do this, especially now that the Book of Boba Fett is out. So anyway, back to the Book of Boba Fett and not my shitty lungs. So the Book of Boba Fett, I'll start off by just saying that I really, really loved this first episode. It was pretty much everything that I could have wanted out of an initial episode of this show. This show in particular, I'm saying. Because it went into the kind of the backstory of Boba Fett. And not like the backstory of like Boba Fett when he was young and he was still under Jango Fett, but like Boba Fett from the last time that we saw him, like kind of canonically. Which was at the on Jabba's little cruise thing, his ship out in the desert in Return of the Jedi. That's canonically like the last time that we've seen Boba Fett before The Mandalorian. Now, if you haven't seen The Mandalorian because you're not on Disney Plus, first off, what the hell are you doing? You absolutely need to get onto that because you. I'm gonna say it. The Mandalorian season 1 and 2. That is required viewing if you're going to watch the Book of Boba Fett, because that is where Boba Fett kind of returns, is in The Mandalorian season 2. So if you haven't watched The Mandalorian season 1 and 2, it really paints this picture of a much larger galaxy than I think we're used to seeing. And or it might even just be larger just because we're viewing it from a more kind of microscopic scale instead of kind of this large grand scale that we're so used to seeing it. And it introduces you to the character of the Mandalorian, who you later find out is named Din Djarin. And in the second season, Boba Fett just comes back out of nowhere. And he looks horrible. He looks like he's a lot worse for wear. And If you know, you haven't seen anything else other than that, and you haven't read any of the comic books, like I'll admit, I haven't read a lot from like the expanded universe days. And I know that they did some comic books and stuff, and that all got decanonized. So at this point, I'm kind of like, I view the expanded universe and the legends stuff all as kind of a pool of knowledge that Lucasfilm and Disney can pull from to create new stories or tell those stories from legend. So I don't really, you know a lot of the stuff from there. And I don't think that's a bad thing, because I there's a lot of people out there that haven't really done that. And everything that you see on screen anyway, that's all the canon stuff. So Mandalorian is all canon, and Boba Fett just returns out of nowhere. And at the end of Mandalorian season 2, there's an end credit scene where Boba Fett takes over the throne from Bib Fortuna, who took over the throne from Jabba the Hutt from when he died in Return of the Jedi. So the Book of Boba Fett starts pretty much right there. And I'm going to not really spoil it too much, but the show, this first episode, it's not, you know, necessarily a long episode. I think it's only like 40-something minutes. So it's pretty much a 40-minute episode. And it does a very good job, I think, of doing a couple of things that this show desperately needs to get right in order to be kind of on the level that I think it needs to be on. So not only does it, you know, kind of go into Boba Fett's story about how he escaped the Sarlacc, because it shows it. I mean, it's not even like really any exposition or anything. It just literally shows him escaping from the Sarlacc. And how he came to be, how he survived, how his armor got taken, and how, you know, why he needed to get it back in The Mandalorian, and kind of how he got up to that point where he was in The Mandalorian. But simultaneously to that, it's also telling the story of what happens after The Mandalorian and him trying to kind of get started on consolidating Jabba's empire, Jabba's, you know, criminal underworld empire, that in the wake of Jabba the Hutt being dead, because he's been dead for many years, there's kind of a power vacuum, and there's all these other players that have kind of swept in, including Bib Fortuna, who you know, kind of grab what little pieces of it they can, and Boba Fett's trying to take all of that back. And so he's basically just coming in and saying, hey, listen, I took over. This is mine now. So, you know, you now work for me. But he's doing it in a way that is unique to the way Boba Fett kind of has been set up from The Mandalorian and what I believe is going to be happening in the Book of Boba Fett. So this show answers questions that needed to be answered about how he came back, because you can't just have Boba Fett come back and never explain it. Like, that would just be such bullshit. And you also can't just have an episode, I think, the first episode, you can't just have it dedicated to just the story of how he came back. And I think by going into how he came back, as well as what he's planning to do, we're setting up for this kind of, you know, emotional kind of human tale of what this the struggles that this guy's been through. And I honestly think that you know, one of the big key things here is the line that he says in the trailer is, Jabba ruled with fear, I intend to rule with respect. I think that this show is really going to go into why he believes that, and why he believes that's a better method to rule the criminal underworld than Jabba's ruling with fear. And there's a part of me that after this first episode, minor mild spoiler here, I guess, so fast forward like 30 seconds or something, but I do believe that part of that change in ideas from fear to respect comes from the experiences that he is probably going to have with the Tusken Raiders. And I feel like the Tusken Raiders are going to be a much bigger part of this show than some people think. And I really think that they are going to teach him things along the way. And we're going to get it in these dream formats that he has. So, you know, so I'm not going to go into too much more other than that. But I think that the first episode, it just did such a good job of pacing these two kind of, you know, simultaneous timelines. You know, we're seeing the past and the present at the same time, and it's setting up, both of these things are setting up to the future. And if you consider a show successful by me being extremely excited to tune in next week for the next episode, then yeah, this show was a fucking success. It was a fucking resounding success, because I cannot wait for next week's episode. I want to watch it so bad. So yeah, it's a success to me. So of course, after the show, you know, because I'd been off social media for like, you know, a day or so, or just, you know, very, very light on social media as to try to avoid spoilers, because some of you people just get up at like 3 a.m., watch the show, and immediately post every spoiler from the show at like 3:45 a.m. So like literally the first thing I see when I look at Twitter first thing in the morning on the week, the day that a show gets released, is every plot point from the show. So no thank you to the people that do that. Thank you to the people that decide, hey, the show was good, I will post about it later, and at least give me until fucking dinner time to watch it. So you know, I was light on social media. I came back and, you know, I was like, all right, I want to talk about this. I want to see what everybody's saying about it too, because, you know, this is social media. This is kind of a social thing. I want to talk to you guys. This is why I started the fucking show to begin with. I want to talk to you guys about this stuff because I'm so excited about it. And I thought that it was like, it felt like The Mandalorian again. Like, it felt really good, and it felt like a Dave Filoni, John Favreau, beautiful Western Mandalorian show. Like, it just felt like a continuation of it. Like, this is season three of The Mandalorian, right? That's what it felt like. And from what I remember, The Mandalorian was, like, fairly universally loved. Like, there really wasn't a lot of people shitting on The Mandalorian that I saw, at least. And not until now, all of a sudden, out of nowhere. So I get on Twitter, I'm looking around, and I'm seeing lots of positive stuff, but then I start seeing some of the articles going around and some of these posts going around. And, you know, I don't want to escalate one of them that I've seen in particular. And if you listen to the show, chances are you're one of like the 20 people that I interact with on Twitter a lot. So thank you. But you've shared this one guy's post a lot. So I'm not going to say his name. I'm not going to, you know, read off what he wrote. I'm not going to try to give him any extra credit and fame from saying what he said, but he said some pretty horrible shit. I'm just, like, straight up, this dude is just an absolute piece of shit. Just a racist, sexist piece of shit. The worst type of human being out there. And so this take was the dumbest take that I have ever seen, not just on the Book of Boba Fett, but on any main character from any piece of entertainment ever. All right. He put down a list, two lists of what Boba Fett was in the past to him, not to anybody else, just to him. This whole headcanon thing that people can't seem to realize, headcanon does not mean actual canon, but this whole headcanon of what Boba Fett used to stand for and what Boba Fett stands for now after the first episode of the Book of Boba Fett. And you know, all of the points were stupid, but the one that really stuck out was that he said the new Boba Fett is bad because he doesn't support non-consensual sex. So I'm going to take a minute to let the stupid seep into your brain on that one, because holy fuck, did he actually just say that Boba Fett is bad because he doesn't support rape? What the fuck? That is the dumbest fucking take I have ever seen on any character. And it's so fucking stupid. And like I said, I don't want to give him any additional exposure for that. Like, I don't want to reward that because it's just horrendous. And it's so telling of the type of person that he is, that he needs a main character, a protagonist, a hero in a story that he's supposed to relate with. And the type of person that he would relate with is someone who's going to rape people. What the fuck? Where were you January 6th? That's what I want to know. Jesus fucking Christ. Like, how? It just boils my blood thinking about that stupid comment. Oh, anyway, besides idiotic Twitter users, of which there are many, as we all know, there were several articles, two of which that are sticking out in the top of my head. But there were several articles that talked about how the first episode of the Book of Boba Fett was boring. And like I said, I don't quite understand where they're coming from with that, because I was not bored during the episode. It had great pacing as far as what I believe. It had action. It had intense moments of you know, kind of drama and this human experience of survival against the worst odds. And it was an entertaining first episode, but these guys said it was boring. Now, part of me kind of gets, you know, as far as I'm willing to give credit to this argument, I kind of get it. This may be what Disney should have done, was release episode one and episode two on the same day and really go into how Boba got to where he is, what he's planning on doing, and then the second episode would be a little bit more of that and a little bit more fleshed out and just continuing the trajectory that he's going in for the rest of the season. But that's hardly, anything that I would consider like worth, you know, knocking the entire show over. But so the second dumbest take that I saw was from the Hollywood Reporter, who said, you know, the first I'm paraphrasing here, but the first episode of The Book of Boba Fett was more like a chapter than a book. So, okay, let's break that down for a second. It's more like a chapter than a book. That's great, because chapters are how books work. You know, you have individual chapters that break the story up. I understand the people that say that you should be able to judge an entire episode based on that one episode's value. But the problem is this is a part of Star Wars. Star Wars is such a massive, massive collection of information and data and story and plot that if you tried to judge every single piece of it on its own, then you can call it out for any number of issues. You know, like if we just took the episode one, which by the way is called Chapter One, A Stranger in a Strange Land. So Jesus Christ, you could not be more on the nose, The Hollywood Reporter. Fucking dummies. But if you take just that one episode and you just the only thing that exists in the Star Wars universe is that one episode, then yeah, I can call out, okay, why didn't they flesh out who Boba Fett is? Why didn't they flesh out who what Tatooine is, and why didn't they flesh out who the Tusken Raiders are? Okay, but because that's all part of this giant, massive overarching story that has taken 40 some odd years to tell in different pieces. And yeah, you can say, okay, but you should be able to look at this one episode as a single episode, a single microcosm of Star Wars, and you should be able to judge it based on its value. Yes, and I thought it was great. I thought it added a lot in one episode to the story at large that we know. And, you know, I can't understand trying to take this one episode without looking at anything outside of it, because this is a continuation of The Mandalorian. This is a continuation of Boba Fett's character in The Mandalorian. If anything, this is a spinoff. And all of the previous character development that happened in The Mandalorian, you have to look at that as well, because that's part of this story. And the entire story, you can't write off the entire show based off of one episode. You know, and that's the thing that I'm seeing, is a lot of people saying The Book of Boba Fett is not going to be good because the first episode was bad. And you know, I understand if you didn't like it, but this is literally the first chapter in a book. I don't know if it's 6 or 8 episodes or whatever, but this is the first chapter. There's going to be more story that's going to be told. There's going to be more, fleshed out ideas that are happening. And I would say that the best way to avoid kind of probably looking like an idiot later is to be more reserved now, you know, and say, hey, listen, I didn't really, you know, care for this episode. It was a little bit more boring than I thought it would be. I wanted some more whiz bang pop boom action, and I didn't get it. And it was more just character driven, which, by the way, so fucking what? You know, it's fleshing out Boba Fett's character, which, if you ask me, this is the first time Boba Fett's been fleshed out as a character, in canon, at least. You have a little bit of Boba Fett in, the Attack of the Clones, and beyond that. And there's almost nothing in the original trilogy as far as Boba Fett being fleshed out as a character. Like, his whole thing is just that he looked cool in the original trilogy. And then, you know, Attack of the Clones kind of added a little bit more story to him and why maybe he is the way he is, because, you know, Mace Windu killed his dad. But other than that, there's been nothing. And the Clone Wars, you know, kind of added a little bit, but the Clone Wars was setting him up to be kind of a good guy. So, you know, seeing him come back in The Mandalorian and being this absolute, like, fucking powerhouse badass in The Mandalorian, like, it was so fun and really added to the lore of Boba Fett in a way that he'd never gotten in like what, 40 years, 30 something years of movies that he's, you know, technically been a part of. And we get it all in like one episode. And it was so good. And then it just continued from there as you know, the episodes went on and Boba Fett was with Din Djarin. And now we're getting a show dedicated to that. And the first episode is pretty much just a lot of character development and setting things up and putting pieces into place that's going to end in six or eight episodes or however long it is, with Boba Fett being this incredibly fleshed out character, I think. I think that's how it's going to go. So I think it's still way too early to make any sort of harsh judgment on the Book of Boba Fett. I think it's way too early, really, even to say anything super positive other than to be excited about these new stories coming out and this character that we've all grown up looking at and being like, that dude is a fucking badass, right? We've all said it. And now we get a chance to see him be a badass, but also from the way that it's been kind of set up, he's going to be a hero and like a good guy and not, maybe not like, you know, like if you look at like a what is it, the alignment chart from D&D, I don't know how many of you play D&D out there. I play, it is fun. It's honestly, it's a great game. You guys should all play, should find a local dungeon master that's good. Play D&D. It's nerdy as fuck, but it's so much fun. Anyway, but if you look at like an alignment chart, like a character alignment chart, and I know you guys have all seen it online where you have like, you know, lawful good, chaotic, neutral, everybody knows all that stuff. So Boba Fett is definitely not lawful good. And I mean, Din Djarin isn't even lawful good. But Boba Fett's like kind of, you know, middle ground. He's in the middle. He's definitely like not evil, but not like chaotic. He's definitely got a plan, but he's not quite good, but not evil. You know, he's right in the middle. I'd almost dare to say, what is it? It's not neutral, but like lawful neutral. I think that's the one, like just to the left of neutral. He's a good guy, but he's neutral, like, you know, or maybe even the one below that, like, you know, lawful bad or something. I don't remember the full thing. I'm not like a you know, expert level D&D player. I don't know a lot of that stuff, but you know, that's kind of where Boba Fett lives on that chart. And that's where I think they're going to really have fun fleshing the character out with him is being this kind of like, all right, well, yeah, he's a criminal. Yeah. He's trying to take over the criminal underworld in the galaxy really, but is he a bad guy? You know, I don't think he's a bad guy. He's definitely not somebody that would fucking rape people though. Jesus. Anyway, so this whole thing kind of leads into what I'm probably going to finish with here. This probably isn't going to be a long episode. I don't have much longer where I can record, but this whole thing leads into my thoughts about how we all suck at having conversations online about things. So we all like to think of ourselves as smart people and that our experiences are dictated by, you know, facts and logic and our feelings, these really deep connected things that are in our soul, you know, these are, you know, we like to think of them as objective truth, you know, like how I feel about the Book of Boba Fett. I loved it. I was excited. I would be, you know, understood, I guess, by a lot of these people if I told them that, well, that's how I feel. So I know it's true. I know it's good. But I understand people that didn't like it. I get where they're coming from. And I'm not going to begrudge them for that because that's their personal opinions. That's their feelings. That's something I cannot argue against because I'm not occupying their skin, you know? So I get it. I get if you didn't like it and I get if you loved it. And if you loved it and you're with me on this, then keep joining me in because I'm going to talk about this. And you know, if you have like Twitter spaces that you guys are hosting, let me know. I want to talk. I love talking about this stuff. Or just listening too. I love hearing other people's thoughts on this stuff too. So, you know, we like to think of these experiences that we have as objective because they're so strongly tied to our reality and our truth that we think they're objective, but they're not. And I think somewhere along the lines, we all somehow thought that we are objective professional film reviewers and that film reviewers And TV show reviewers and these people that write these articles for the New York Times and the Hollywood Reporter are these like bastions of truth, and that everything that they say is truth, but it's not. And I think one of the most like complex ideas that I've heard, and something that I'm still trying to wrap my brain around, is the idea that truth and fact are completely different. And I don't know exactly how I want to weave this part together, but it's basically you live your own truth, and that is subjective. And fact is objective. Fact is things that are measurable and you know, not by any sort of subjective measure, but by you know, measurable numbers, math, science, all that stuff. And stuff that if you wiped away all record of us doing it or having it, they would come back exactly the same. So we like to think that we are these like professional reviewers by sharing our opinion, and as such, our opinion is the way everybody should see it because it's so tied into our reality and it's so tied into you know, what makes our truth feel objective. But it's not. It's subjective. It's all painted by your history, by your experiences, by your beliefs, by things that have impacted the way that you subjectively view reality. These are all factors that play into how you enjoy media and how you convey that experience to other people. And, you know, I want to say that just the negative toxic sludge monsters are the ones who are guilty on it, but it goes the other way too. There's people that are, you know, there's kind of a pushback on the term toxic positivity, but there is, I think, a thing of toxic positivity where you feel so strongly about your opinion on something that you attack other people for not liking it. And that is just as bad as the people who don't let you enjoy something that you enjoyed. So these opinions that I'm seeing going around about Book of Boba Fett being terrible and that the show is boring and that the character is woke. Now, the character had fucking nothing before this. The character was a suit. The character was a helmet. It was a drawing that was done on everybody's fucking notebooks back in high school. Like, that is all that the character was before The Mandalorian Season 2. So you cannot tell me that the character is now ruined, because everything that the character was prior to The Mandalorian Season 2 was basically nothing. It was basically just your headcanon, and that's all it was. And that doesn't exist. That's all in your head. So you can say that Disney ruined the character. You can say that all of these things are bad. I don't care, because that's in your head, because this is what the character is what you see on screen. Whether you like it or not is a different argument. And that is okay to say that you did not like the way Boba Fett is being played out, because guess what? You don't have to watch it. Nobody's forcing you to stay signed up to Disney Plus, and no one's forcing you, if you choose to stay signed up to Disney Plus, to continue watching the Book of Boba Fett. So with that, I'm going to leave it off here, because I don't have any more time, really. So please, just when you're talking about the Book of Boba Fett, understand that you're talking about your feelings and your opinions, and it's not objective fact. It's not objective. Your feelings are your feelings. So please let people enjoy what they want to enjoy. And if people want to hate it, you kind of just have to let them hate it. If people are sharing, you know, homophobic or xenophobic or racist or promoting rape, I mean, it's hard not to want to call that out, but the best thing you can do is just report the tweet if it's that bad, block the person and move on. Because when you share these ideas, you're kind of giving validity to the ideas that they're sharing. And other people might be looking at this and saying, oh, okay, well, if everybody hated it, then it must be bad. No, this is all a very complex psychology discussion to be had, not anything about reality and you know, objective truth. This is all subjective. So again, I know I stress this a lot. Please understand that your opinions are subjective. Your opinions and feelings are all chemicals and electrical signals floating in your brain that don't even necessarily have to be connected to reality itself. They are just impulses in your brain telling you how to perceive the world. And it can be a beautiful thing if you just let it be its thing, its subjective truth. And you just understand that we are all living this unique life that's dictated by these weird little electrical impulses in our brain. Anyway, I'm not going to go any further than that. I've rambled on long enough. You guys are awesome for listening even this far. And I thank you guys for coming back and listening to this episode. If you guys have anything you want to talk about, hit me up on Twitter is where I am always active, at Bright Suns Media. You can hit me up on other social media. I do have a Discord server, but I'm like never on it. Just hit me up. I want to talk about this stuff. This stuff is awesome. And I am having a blast getting so excited for the next episode of The Book of Boba Fett. I'm going to try to do another episode next week at the after The Book of Boba Fett comes out. And we'll talk about the next episode and, you know, where the story is going from here. But again, thank you guys for coming back, for listening, for supporting the show, and for just being the fucking amazing fans that you guys are out there. I interact with you constantly on Twitter, and you guys are exactly the type of people that I started this show to talk to. So I greatly appreciate it from the bottom of my heart, and I will talk to you guys next time. Have a fantastic rest of the year. Which is only like another 24 hours. And I will see you again in 2022. So thank you guys so much. Have a great, great rest of your year. And let's do some fucking awesome shit in 2022. All right, may the force be with you.